Where's Sean?
Is that all? I didn't realize a fellow out there that could protect so well. I sometimes may need him to come with me. This morning, I want to talk to you about the fact that you can make a difference. And we need you to make a difference. A month ago, our church got involved in a situation that is still going on. But a lady in our church, Amparo Folgar, came from Guatemala. I don't know exactly the whole story, that a husband left her, that she's ended up single mom raising a son in the inner city. She accepted the Lord some years ago and has been coming to our church. On August 21st, her son was with one of his friends. The friend dropped him off at the house and parked his car to walk home, and at 8:30 was gunned down and killed. 8:30 in the evening, was killed. And that started a set of events, a set of emotion, a situation where this lady, in my estimation, has become a hero. She has done something that is very significant. What happened? There was a desire for vengeance. And she opened up her home. Friends of her son to come into her home. They had been doing this before. She was cashing in on the openness to them before. And what had established itself literally and figuratively in that neighborhood was that there was a group of men down the street that were advocating revenge. Were telling the young people to go and get some of the drifters. It was a gang of drifters that did it. And were encouraging them to drink alcohol to drown their sorrow. She stood out and became the place of light and begging the kids not to seek revenge. Not to do it. Not to seek the drugs. To come. To pray. This was done for days. She would call me, her own personal struggle. She would say, Pastor, I've prayed for these young men. They've been like children to me. And God has answered me this way. Her own personal struggle was going on at that time with God. How come this Eddie got shot and killed like that? And yet she stood out there and held on, asking these kids. And then last week I got a call from her. We talked over the phone several times. And she was on cloud nine. She said, Pastor, the boy that killed Eddie was now, the gang decided to turn him in instead of killing him. They worked with the detective and now he's at the station and he's been arrested. They've convincing a lady to testify at trial. She was in cloud nine because instead of killing, they were turning him in. She said, I hope the justice system doesn't fail. So in one sense, if that kid walks out, he's dead. She said, I hope someday to go to that kid if he's in jail and tell him that, you know, you've gotten a second chance. You may be in jail, but you've gotten a second chance because you were a marked man. They were going to get you. And prayers, she got in church involved, standing up, opening her home, 1:30 in the morning, two people coming over. She was able, an ordinary Christian, an ordinary woman, did an extraordinary thing. She was able to cash in on the several years of opening up her home, making friends with these guys, and when the chips were down, she was able to impact, by the grace of God, for something positive. And right now, there's a little less bloodshed because of this lady, Amparo Folgar. Peter Drucker, he's a man that's called the father of modern management. In an interview that they had with him, he was advocating in that interview that the most basic thing, ultimately, is to have impact in the lives of people. No matter what you're doing, and he's talking about the church, the ultimate thing is to have impact on the life of people. He said, I have been teaching now for almost 60 years. There was a time when I was considered a good teacher. No longer. I think I'm still adequate, but how much longer, I don't know. But at one time, I think I was a pretty good one. And yet, if I had any success, it was the rare instances when I said something that really made a difference to a student. Those results are not easy to quantify. I wouldn't know how many times that happened. They're fairly rare. They don't happen every day, not even every week, and maybe not even every month. But if a year goes by without it happening, I think I wasted a year, basically as a teacher. Not all my teaching colleagues would agree. A good many of them see their success failure more in terms of subject competence. But that's not the essence of teaching. And I say to you, that's not the essence of living in the Christian life. We are here to have an impact in the lives of people, which means that we are competent and qualify and do our jobs well to earn the respect. But we are here, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, to have an impact in the lives of people. He says, the key, I think, is the commitment to be available to people. You know that old proverb, when it rains manna from heaven, you have to have a big spoon. So when the opportunity is there, when the person is receptive, you are there and you've established a trust. This is what Amparo had done. She was there. She had established a trust. And when the opportunity came, she cashed in for the positive, for the good. I want this to happen and need this to happen in the community around where our church is, around the Pico Union area where the First Evangelical Free Church is at. I would love to see us establish through the tutoring program, through the ESL, but through especially through the tutoring program, a network of students, Biola students, Master's College students, last year it was 40, to go out and work with the kids in the community, individually, one by one, establish trust, establish the point so that when the time comes, when we don't know when and where, at what stage, that the child, that student, is in making a decision. Do I go to bed with so-and-so? Do I take the drugs? Do I drop out of school? Do I do this? You or the tutor coming after you or somebody in the church or somebody can have that impact and earn that respect so that they will listen and influence their lives for the positive. Because, let me tell you, as something that I've learned in 15 years in inner city ministry, with all the problems that there is, something that encourages me at times and discourages me at times, that the reality is that if we are going to change and do a significant change in the city and across America, that what is needed is individual attention, long-term individual attention with the kid. A one-time shot to come in and tell them not to take drugs. President Bush speaking yesterday or day before yesterday to the students, that's good, but I wonder how many of you students even heard him talk against drugs. What you need is for us to go in and build these relationships, work with these people, and be able to have an impact in their lives. There is a one-on-one that is so important. And I can't do it. I can only do it with so many people. But we can do it if we work together. And that's where you can come in. Many of you students can come in to work with these people. I was looking at the magazine in Newsweek, the one that came out this week. And they're talking about the spill in Alaska and the Valdez and how the cleanup. And under one of the pictures is this. Incredible as it seems, workers were sent out to wipe rocks one by one with special absorbent pads. I remember when it happened that they suggested that they were going to do something and being amused. You're thinking, the millions of rocks? And people are going to go out there and rub them one by one. It almost was humorous, almost ridiculous. And I was falling into the trap. This is with rocks. But I was falling into that same trap and many people do with people. There are thousands of young people, thousands of people. What can you do? What use is it to just talk to one or two? And I'm telling you, as the old refrain goes, that one rock is clean. No, thousands of others, but at least this one is clean. And more important than rocks. There are thousands of kids out there that need help. There are thousands of kids out there that need individual attention. And we can't reach them all, but we can take this one kid and give him some attention. And use and give that person, that child, the time, the attention to indicate that we care, that we love them, that we're there. We are in a situation that the problems in terms of just education in the inner city are staggering, as this article says. I have here with me, out of the Monday edition, last Monday's edition of the LA Times. the school dropout rate of Los Angeles. And then it says that the Los Angeles district officials say their dropout problem is complicated by large numbers of poor, limited English-speaking students. Some critics contend that district policies and practices contribute to the high rate, which averages 39.2 district-wide. In other words, at the whole LA school system, high school, 39.2 kids average drop out of school, that enter the 10th grade, drop out of school before the 12th grade. And then they have some the statistics of all the 39 high schools, and one of them, Lockheed High School, 79.3% of the students drop out. Then you have the other one is Dorsey. Crenshaw, 71%. Crenshaw, 72%. Last year I was quoting a statistic that was several years old, that Belmont, our high school in our district, was the highest. They've gone down to 44.8. And they're saying here that the district-wide American Indian students drop out at the steepest rate, 57.3%, followed by blacks at 46%, Filipinos at 43.7%, and Latinos at 40.1% of them. Then, since the Latinos contribute the largest proportion of population, they had 10,579 Latinos that should have graduated, did not graduate this year. And for many students, school cannot compete with the lure of the streets. Said Larry, 15, who dropped out of Belmont last year but hasn't since returned, "I felt I didn't need school. None of my friends went to school. Some of them were selling drugs, making $1,000 a week. They don't feel like they need school." Who is going to change a kid like that? Can you, Bush, you, or I, one speech, change the thinking? It's long-term. A friendship that can start building in the Christian values and Christian viewpoint in that child. The district is spending $3.6 million to prevent kids from dropping out. Peter Martinez coordinates this program. $3.6 million. I mean, what's the budget of this college? And said he could not think of one district high school that has appreciably reduced its dropout rate. But he said small inroads are being made by individual teachers and counselors working, what? With individual students. And then it says, Principal Joan Ellum said reducing the dropout rate is one of the year's top goals. Teachers and administrators acknowledge that one of the changes needed in the school is improving the quality of one-to-one contacts between students and staff. We're trying to create an environment and opportunities so that kids will want to be here, said Monroe math teacher Jennifer Marvel. Starting this fall, for instance, each staff member will be asked to adopt 4 or 5 students for special attention. Then the school is going to try to increase one-on-one relationships in every direction we can, Elam said. Folks, we've been doing that for several years now. Trying to reach the community, trying to reach the students in these areas where all the problems that are in the inner city exist everywhere else. They're in the suburbs everywhere else, but they're intensified. They're made into a magnitude. There's something there that I tell you, it frustrates me sometimes. Because I look at families. I worked in Chicago for 10 years, and I've been here for 6 years. I look at one of the main families that we worked with in Chicago. And people here are Christian, and sure, they've got problems and all. But yet, the kids now, the two older kids, one of them is in jail, and the other one's in trouble. And I go back to Chicago, and I go, man. What does it take? And I look back and I say, what, we did programs, we sent it to camp. They get that, but what is the power? The parents weren't sitting there telling their kids to do that. In fact, throughout all those years, they were fighting the kids to do that. But what is the power that is so strong? I was making the statement the other day to some people that, you know, we work with a lot of people, and some of the kids come, they're older when they get to us. Some of the, you know, the migration, the immigrants coming in from all parts of South America, Central America, I mean, especially Mexico, they come in at different ages. And the older we are, they are, the older we work with them, we can manage. They accept the Lord and we can keep them. And they stay, you know, basically on course and don't get messed up. But a kid that has been born and raised in the inner city, I said the other day, I have yet to see a kid that has been born and raised in the inner city not get into trouble in the teenage years. And I, you know, I say, and then I'm looking, and now in our church, we have some girls, we have Fabiola and Fatima, that look like they're going to make it. We have Claudia Cinciglia, the first girl ever tutored, went to college. And I was thinking to myself, I have to go back on that statement. Maybe. She's 19. She's going to hang in there. And what I want is the kids to know Jesus Christ above all. I want them to be able to study and educate themselves and use the gifts that God has given them. And I want them to marry. Get a good job and marry. Not marry some fool out there. Not marry something. But marry correctly in the Word. And this gal, she's going to make it. I trust she will. And all. But what is taking? What is... Claudia's the first one. We've been doing this for 4 years. And what has taken? Several tutors. There were times when she didn't want to be tutored. And we kind of pushed her. But she's there, hanging in there. And going through. And now she's going to college. The power, the net value of one person. Of one person. The last year, you have Lee Williams. And he started tutoring the building that Julie was saying. He was part of that building. And we started that, I think in January or somewhere this semester, working with that building. And Lee lives in the area. Is Lee here? Lee? Not yet. There he is. Okay. Lives in the area. But what developed, and he had the opportunity to do something. He could take that family, that family that he worked with, his parents that live in the Simi Valley, invited them to eat. They went. Then that family invited his parents and Lee to go back. It was building that trust, building that relationship. In July, we had the 5th anniversary of our church. And Lee invited her and the family to come. The lady came. I was surprised because it was the first time she had come. And yet, my wife sat beside her, showed her the scripture and all. And when the time came, she went forward to accept the Lord. Came back, brought her husband, and even came back to church. To be truthful, she's not growing right now. I don't know what's exactly happening to her. But something happened. God knows what it was and what is going to happen and what it means for the future. But that came because long-term individual relationship that came back and showed concern and showed that we care. That you can do. You can be part of that. You can be part of laying the groundwork. And maybe you're the one that can cash in. Maybe something comes up while you're with that student. Maybe you're laying the groundwork. Like Peter Drucker says, it doesn't happen every day. Sometimes times can go by that you can have that significant moment to give the people that advice, that direction that they will follow. I remember a couple came to me some years ago, and the lady came to our house and she said, "Pastor, we're on our way to having an abortion. My husband wants us to have an abortion. Unexpected pregnancy, we don't." And he was, "But I just felt bad and I'm coming to you. What do you say? What do you think?" And we had built a relationship with those people. They had even been at one time in our home through the situation that had happened and had been with us. And here in a time of need, she wasn't totally convinced. She didn't like it, but if her husband wanted it. And there to sit and say, "Hey, at that moment, no, don't do it. That's not right. Don't do it right now. Don't." And I hadn't seen him for 6 years, and I saw them some months ago, visiting away, and there's that girl running around, and to say to yourself, at that moment, that life, the impact in that family, the impact at that girl, because you were there to be able to say something at a time of need. But it had built the relationship, and the crisis came, and you were able to do it. So, we as a church need to establish that network throughout that neighborhood. Doing that. With several, 50 students now, 40, 50, building that network up so that we can cash in. We can keep showing those kids that we care, that Jesus cares, that the church cares, that masters cares, that you care. And somebody along the line, God willing, will be able to be there at the right moment to direct those kids to college, to follow the Lord, to do things, those things, and stay on course for Him. The situation in the city is aggravated by the fact of the mixture of ethnic groups that are there. And as I say to you that you can be part of influencing the lives of these students, and you can have something significant, I ask you too that you can be part of getting to know students, getting to know other ethnic cultures, getting to know other ethnic groups. and you being a bridge in our society so that the tensions that are existing now and building in our inner cities and throughout America because of the influx of immigrants, that you can be a bridge builder and you can be a source of bringing in peace and reconciliation amongst the diversity and ethnic groups that there are. I have with me in that same Monday newspaper, front page article, Immigrant Influx Meets Hostility in Rural South. And here's an article talking about the fact that a Ming Lai Hai Lo was killed in Raleigh, North Carolina, a pool hall. In Gainesville, Georgia, 300 members of the Ku Klux Klan marched on Saturday, Labor Day, to protest the thousands of filthy illegal wetbacks that have ruined this fine North Georgia town. And talking like that, but what is going on here is just that the fact that the influx of immigrants that have come to America, now this is what's going on here, has gone on in the cities, New York, Chicago, and L.A. years ago, that is spilling over into the rural communities, the hostilities, the racial hostilities that have been there with blacks, white, and now with all the ethnic groups of the Asians, the Latinos, and all. That, to me, is a concern. It's an area that some other time we can develop and speak more of. It's an area of concern to me to know that to have people in the Christian community be aware of this need and to be a bridge builder. Because this kind of hostility is being reflected in the church. We work with people that want to, you know, accept ethnics into their churches, and many of them are being turned away because people are reflecting these values, reflecting the society's values to say that when a large group comes, we don't want them here. We don't want them. We feel threatened. It says in here that what happened with in the South is a pattern that has happened everywhere else, where the first immigrants to a southern community find curiosity and hospitality, but as their numbers grow, so does the likelihood of hostility. That's happened already. The hostility is there in the city. The mixture is already there, where all these things are happening. And we need people. We need individuals who will want to say, I want to make an impact. And Lord, what can I do to go in there and get to know these people and get to know them and to love them? The exhortation in Leviticus 19 is that you love your neighbor. Love the foreigner as yourself. Love that foreigner. And then that you learn to love them. And Walter Trobisch said, love is a feeling to be learned. Love is a feeling to be learned. It's something that's infinite, so it can always increase. And you say to yourself, Lord, I want to have an impact. I want to be a part of a group that builds bridges in our society and in even the body of Christ. And in order to do that, I myself have to learn to love these people, the alien, the foreigner in our land. And I can do that. And it takes my initiative. They're not going to come to you. They're not going to come and work with you and get to say, hi, how are you? It's for us to go to them. For us to go to them. And through that tutoring program, you can come in to get to know the life of a family, Hispanic family that we work with. You can work with another church. You can work with another program and get to know others. But that you become acquainted and build that trust, build that relationship. Not only to cash in with that child someday, and that family someday, but that you can also go back to your church, go back to your community, and when you see prejudice, and when you see hatred, and when you see those things, you be an influence, an impact, like Amparo. And you work with the people to say, no, let's deal fairly, let's deal justly with these people. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Let's answer that question and carry that out and not carry it ourselves by our emotions. And the last thing I want to say to you is this. That some people, when we talk about having a meaningful relationship and doing something that impacts the lives of people in a significant way, some of you can say, well, you're a pastor, you're full-time. And some can step back and say, well, I'm a lowly freshman. And there's a sense with all of us that we wait next year. When some of people are saying, when I graduate, then I will be able to do something. I'll have more time and more money. Then, when I marry, then I will have more, be able to do it, and I'll have a partner, and we'll be able to do it together. And there's a sense where you're saying, not now, but later. Not now, but later. Listen, every stage of your life has opportunities and limitations. Every stage of it. Everything has its advantages and disadvantages. The thing to learn is to take advantage of the opportunities, control the disadvantages, and make the best of it. Whether you're a freshman, a sophomore, whether you're graduating, whether you're single, whether you're married, you can do something. You, if you propose and want to, you can have an impact. You can start building a relationship with somebody that builds that trust, that becomes available, that when this crisis comes, you can have an impact, a significant impact in the life of those people. Believe. Now, we tell people, now is the day of salvation. Don't procrastinate in saving people. Don't procrastinate in accepting Jesus Christ. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today. There's a very similar analogy in terms of the Christian life. Today is the day to do something. Now, wherever you are, whatever stage you are, whatever there, you can do something. It's a matter of saying, Lord, what can I do? Use me. You have an opportunity with the teams that we have through our church. You saw 5, 6, 7 different things. But I challenge you, get involved in the life of somebody and have a significant impact in their life. Do it, and do it now. Don't wait.